welcome to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host Silky Harvey, every Monday at 1 p.m. CT. Welcome to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 on this Monday, 1st of November. Well, will you believe it? Today is the Celtic New Year. Yes, so happy Halloween, blessed Samhain, or if you're on the other side of the planet, blessed Beltane. So today's show is really special indeed. We have some great guests. On the talking stick, we have Charlotte de Jager. She is one of the great authors in Strong and Free, Stories of Women Who Are Living Their Dream After Breaking Up with Society's Expectations. And there are still spots available, by the way. You can still become an author before this year is out. You can be a bestseller. We are going to launch on the 17th of December, and you can still be in on the action. So if you want to write your story and be a best-selling author before the year is out, just get in touch with me after the show. On the music spotlight, we have got Sean Harvey. Yes, my other half, and I'm on all the recordings, so I really love playing these songs. They mean a lot to me. They are very special indeed. And some of the songs are recorded under really special circumstances. And yes, today I put out some of my favorite there, about which I will be talking later. But the highlight of today's show is Mark McCartney. Now, if you haven't heard of this guy, look him up, Mark McCartney. He's an international speaker, he is an author, and he is generally one of the change makers in this world. He is going to talk about the Children's Fire, which is a pledge put to him by Native Americans many years ago, and it's his mission to go out into the world and to tell everybody about the importance of the Children's Fire and the survival of this planet. This guy is at the COP26 right now in Glasgow, talking to world leaders and politicians about the importance of looking after this planet and the importance of having the Children's Fire burn in everyone's hearts. But today you can hear him right now on this show as he's going to tell you all about the Children's Fire in Fireside Stories. And with that, and without further ado, we get straight onto Fireside Stories after the commercial. Are you strong and free? Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, Stories of Women Who Are Living Their Dream After Breaking Up with Society's Expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books. And we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com, and become a strong and free best-selling author. So it is now time to get on to Fireside Stories. And in the studio with us today is Mark McCartney, and he will be talking to us about the Children's Fire. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Thanks, Silky. Good to be here.
It's lovely to have you in the studio. So you're talking about the Children's Fire today. And I know I'm one of your pupils on the Kith and Kin journey, and you've told us a lot about it. And it's very important, in my opinion. So tell our listeners about the children's fire, what it is, and the importance to our world today.
Sure. So I'm talking to your listeners now today, as even though I've done my best not to think of myself in this way, but as a man who's definitely crossed the threshold from middle age to elderly, I think you could say that, because I'm 72 now, and I don't think even with a sort of stretch of imagination I can quite still call that middle age. So let's just face that one and say, speaking from an elder point of view, certainly in my elderly years. But back in the 70s, I guess even all the way through the 70s, I was a young man who was very, very intent on trying to find a way, a spiritual pathway, I suppose, but more than that, a way of just living this life in which I could feel fully and vibrantly alive and grace myself with the sort of wonderful feeling that when it came time to say goodbye and die, that I would have the feeling that I'd really lived this life to the full and done something with it. Maybe this matters to all people to some degree or other, but to me it was really a burning question. It was truly important, because I knew that everything that my education and everything had offered me had not somehow answered this need or question that I had. So I asked myself the question, are there any traditions in existence in our world today that I can find access to, where that sort of pathway originated a long time ago with people who really understood and knew of our earth in a different way? Indigenous people who had ceremonies, let's say, that honored and revered and had some deep, profound understanding of the mystery, if you like, and the mysteries which inform all things of nature, I suppose you could put it that way, because it was all these things that I most deeply and profoundly loved. Things to do with sunrises and sunsets, with our plant and animal life, the extraordinary sort of diversity of that all the way around our world, of the oceans, of the huge skies, the solar system of which we are a part, the universe moving on beyond that, the world of dreams and prophecy, the world that in many ways our culture turned away from, hundreds, if not a few thousands of years ago. The kind of world, in fact, that our ancestors here in Britain would have known and understood. And just to add to this, those ancestors that I'm referring to always were drawn from all different parts of our earth. So, you know, we had soldiers from North America in the Roman army manning Hadrian's Wall. We've found evidence of DNA of peoples having traveled vast distances in the Bronze Age coming here to Britain. As my Native American mentor said, 2,000 odd Native Americans were brought here to Britain as slaves. And, you know, it'd be hard to imagine that some of them didn't have babies, you know. So when I speak about our ancestors, I'm speaking about all kinds of people who came to our islands in successive waves, or individually, but also in large groups over vast periods of time. Those people we know used to build their homes facing the rising sun. I'm speaking now about 2,000 odd years ago. Why would they do that? Well, that and together with a whole host of other evidence, it's quite clear that the worldview that they had at that time, that we had at that time, was very similar in almost all respects to a vast array of other indigenous peoples in our world who see written in the natural world an expression of spiritual truth and had it in their minds, if you like, that it was an honor to have a human life and that the only way to meet this really was from the place of awe and reverence. So I was looking for mentors who could take me into this world because that is the world that really spoke to me as a young man and the one that I wished to learn about. So I have hundreds of stories really about this, you know, and the journey that I undertook to try and find these people, and it was not easy. But let me just say that after all kinds of strenuous effort, and having heard that there was a group, two Native Americans here in Britain who were visiting some of our ancient sacred sites for some reason or other, which I didn't find out for another 15, 20 years. Having finally, after three successive summers, finding them, and if you can just dwell on that, so three successive summers, myself and a group of others were crisscrossing Britain, trying to find them, no internet, using word of mouth, you know, on the phone all the time, using network of contacts, but it was only in the third summer that we actually found them. And by the time this happened, I'd put aside everything else and I simply blurted out to this guy. I said, I wish to engage a sort of a lifetime learning with you on all the things that are most precious to me and of which I've never been taught. I wish to learn about the earth wisdom, mysteries and teachings. I want to do ceremonies of that kind. I want to learn. And basically they said, but first of all, we need to know who you are. And we need to find out whether actually you're resilient and to actually make the journey because it's going to be a long one. And it will be challenging. Well, they were absolutely right about that. And, you know, looking back now, I wonder if I would still have made the same choice if I'd known then what I know now. But also huge amounts of it were truly extraordinary, truly beautiful. I mean, it was everything that I had longed for. And now at this time in my life, I just feel like I've harvested and I'm still harvesting and will continue to harvest until the day I drop. The life of my dreams, really, the life of my yearning. And it's in large part in gratitude to those people. So my first 3 month time with them, so I managed to free up my space to come over and spend 3 months with them on land that they had privately bought, several thousand acres of forest and pasture, wild land in the coastal mountains of Northern California. I was going through a pretty tough time with them in all sorts of way, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. But after one particularly tough day, I was informed that I was being summoned to a meeting, a council, in the forest that evening, and that I needed to be there on time because there was something that they wished to share with me. I had feelings, a whole mixture really of some fear and apprehension, and also, of course, excitement, and all blended together really. But alone, I began to tramp my way up this little track leading upwards into the surrounding hills. And it was very cold. I'm not sure if it was February, something like February. Snow on the ground in places. And as I sort of gained some elevation and I looked over through the trees, I could see this fire burning in the little glade. And as I got closer, a group of people, maybe 10, 14 people, sat in a circle around the fire. And I came to this place and somebody stood and said to me, Mac, you know, there is a place here reserved for you. Please take your seat around the children's fire. I'd never heard of the children's fire. I took my seat. And then one of them spoke, saying, there is something we wish to share with you that we consider to be of a real and profound importance. We're going to share with this with you because we want you to carry it out into the world and sharing it wherever people have the patience to listen to it and do everything that you can to seek to inspire them to then take this into the way that they live their lives and bravely stand for the futures of recently born and yet to be born human children who will inhabit this earth in generations to come. Also to the same for all the myriad of wild creatures, whether animal or plant, that have also, that will also, do also, and will also inherit the world we leave to them. We're saying, we're giving you this gift because, as you know, our world is in free fall. Nature is collapsing in unexpected and expected ways, in predictable and unpredictable ways. And it's collapsing because the dominant world society is completely disconnected from the wisdom of their ancestors, the wisdom of countless indigenous peoples who have understood that all of the natural world lives on the, around the principle of reciprocity. In other words, if you take, you give. You give and you take. Everything is always an exchange. You do not and never would understand the world, the natural world, to be, as it were, something to be exploited. You would never look at forests, rivers, herds of animal creatures, farms, as it were, as resources, you would know that this was in effect your family, your relations, and that everything required respect and required understanding. You would have known that listening is one of the most profound skills that people need. And listening is not just to other human beings speaking, but listening to the world which you have been given just a few years to inhabit. And in that time, as it were, creation's request that you build some measure of wisdom. So they said, we have a disaster unfolding. Bear in mind now, this is the late 70s, early 80s. We have a disaster unfolding. It's been unfolding actually for hundreds of years, but now it's really accelerating. And it likely will lead to a very hard place. So we know, Mac, that you love this earth. And that's why we're giving you this thing. whatever shortcomings you may have, and you certainly have quite a few, we understand and trust that this is a lifelong journey for you and you're going to do everything you can. So here, we're giving you something. Use it. The children's fire. A long time ago, our elders sat together in council, pondering the question, how shall we govern our people? They'd come to understand and to realize that many times the chiefs, women and men of a people, while they may have become chiefs with the very best of intentions to serve the community, the people, the tribe, over time, as they become used to being chiefs and quite enjoy being chiefs, begin to make decisions and choices which serve rather more the chiefs than the people whom they're meant to be leading. And this, of course, leads to all kinds of decisions and laws that are unhelpful to the people and will ultimately impact future generations. So when our elders considered this, they did what they always did. They turned outwards to nature and inwards into themselves and their own dreams and visions. And they asked for guidance. We don't know the detail of how this happened, but they returned to the council. Let's imagine they did this many times, sharing and then going back out again into nature, solo fasting, seeking visions, coming back. Those that had the facility for deep dreaming, then coming back to council. But at some point, somebody would have shared the idea. Chiefs, women and men, elders of our people. Every time we come together in council, let us build a small fire at the center of our council, and we will call it the children's fire. And every chief who takes a seat in this council will need to take the pledge of the children's fire. No law, no decision, no action, nothing of any kind will be permitted to go out from this circle of chiefs that will harm the children, that will in any way undermine our children's future. Not just human children, but the young of all kind. Let us imagine that every chief took that pledge before we then turned our minds and hearts towards the issues that needed to be explored and from which would emerge laws, choices, and decisions. Can you imagine, Mac? Can you imagine how our society would be so radically changed if in all institutions of power, the children's fire burnt and the leaders, be they in business at whatever level, in our religions at whatever level, in our schools, nurseries, universities, any form of higher education at any level. Can you imagine in local government, in our parliament here in Britain, in Wales and Scotland, Northern Ireland, can you imagine what would happen if all people who held some power, and incidentally, this does not have to be people of the kind we've just described, but people in their villages, in their towns, in their streets, in their local pub, as it were, all people who have some measure of influence if the children's fire burnt inside them. And they always said, anything that I contribute will have reckoned with the children's fire pledge. No law, no decision, no action, nothing of any kind will be permitted to go out from me into society that will harm or undermine our children's future. Can you imagine the impact that this would have? And then perhaps it's worth even asking the question, kind of society is it that would not take the pledge of the children's fire? The answer to that question, of course, is an insane society, a society with a death wish, a self-harming society that has already somehow is somehow on some level inviting its demise and end. So if we leave that council there in the forest for a moment and come back here now into our lives in the autumn of 2021 here in the UK, you see, everything is not over yet, but everything does utterly and absolutely depend upon vast numbers of ordinary people who probably do not in any way consider themselves to be chiefs. Just ordinary people like you and me depends upon our willingness to see through all of the noise that is going on at the moment and simply ask ourselves, what do I need to do in order to fully take on the pledge of the children's fire? And that means we start looking at eat and the products and things that we buy, where they come from and what they are, what they're putting into the atmosphere or into to people, you know, the whole sort of journey, if you like, that product. So if it's our farming, all the huge volumes of pesticide, insecticide, herbicide and fertilizer that we're putting onto our land and destroying our soil, what's happening to our rivers? What's happening to our young people at universities when those universities are almost more commercial than the organizations to which people will go after they've finished university? How we have developed a society that is so angry, so cruel, so unkind in the way that it passes judgment on others about whom it knows almost nothing. How we might in our streets, in our towns and villages and cities, really begin to put the effort in to secure a future for our children, then we're beginning to understand perhaps what the children's fire means. So I'm going to come to a finish in a moment, but this story is powerful. Through telling this story, now I find myself in a position where I've been invited to go up to COP26 talks up in Glasgow in November. I'll be sharing this with people in the Scottish government, in people of sort of international people who have real influence around the world, all kinds of people. We will be offering this through Children's Fire Council fires. And that's all well and good. But the real way in which this will land is when it begins to land in the hearts of people like you who are listening to this recording and who determine to do something about it, even though maybe you don't really know how, even though you don't really feel ready, even though you don't in any way consider yourself to be a leader, all of those things, but that you then simply, quietly set about bringing this fire to your day-to-day life, today, tomorrow, and every day thereafter.
Thank you, Mark. That was beautiful. I was sitting, I could listen to you for hours. That was so beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, Silky.
I also know that you are involved with a great place, great charity down in Devon called Ambercombe. Tell me a bit about that.
Yes, I mean, involved, deeply involved, I'd say. I mean, I'm the founder of Ambercombe. Ambercombe was created through the generosity of a business client of mine who, having found out what my dream was, then made it possible by buying this 50-acre valley and giving it to me, from which we then created the charity Ambercombe. And for the last 21 years now, we've been hosting and running and offering all kinds of courses, events, programs, really all around, I suppose, built around the whole notion of the children's fire. So I'm very glad to say that Ambercombe is still doing that with even more focus and purpose than it had in the past. And certainly it would be wonderful if people wish to check out the website and take a look. Perhaps, Silke, you can enter the details of the Ambercombe website on the page, but it's basically www.embercombe.org.
I will definitely add this to the page, and any listener who wants to find out, just look up Mark on the show page and all the active links will be there for you to click on.
Wonderful. Many thanks.
You're very welcome.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silke Harvey. Are you strong and free? Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books, and we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So, if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com, and become a strong and free best-selling author. We are now getting onto the talking stick section of this show after listening to the great Matt McCartney. If you haven't looked him up yet, go straight to the show page. All his clickable links are there and find out about this guy. Find out more about the children's fire and how you too can help to save this planet and help make this world a better place to live for generations to come. But now on the talking stick, we have Charlotte De Jager, one of the great Strong and Free authors, and she's going to tell you a little bit about herself and her business, and also a tad about the story she's going to write in Strong and Free. Oh, take it away, Charlotte.
Hi, everybody. I'm Charlotte, and I'm an entrepreneur from Belgium. I was a teacher, but I feel really passionate to share my energy and my passion with everybody. So my business is Arasari Lifestyle, and it's a health and lifestyle coaching business. I help people to improve their and transform their mindsets, and help her create a more clear vision and purpose. And I help them also with creating more balance and basically to create a healthy lifestyle with a lot of passion and energy. So this is what the goals that we do at Arasari Lifestyle. And yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, your business. You've just said about Panne. What about the person behind the business?
Well, I'm a very enthusiastic from basically like a more energized, bubbly person. So I love to do sports. I love movement, like all kind of stuff. I do a dance. It's Brazilian Zouk. I love to dance. I don't know if everybody know that, but it's amazing. I really recommend it. I do also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So I'm a dancer and a fighter. And I swim. I teach swimming. I love to give also all classes of movements for basically animal flow. I don't know if somebody knows this, but I'm an animal flow instructor too. I studied also outdoor. So I love everything what's about outdoor. So I'm also really adventurer, and I really love traveling and learn about different cultures and different visions of other people. And it helps me to learn more about myself. And so I can implement this in my business. So I help on this way other people with the vision of different cultures and different people. So yeah, I'm also a solo traveler. I love traveling with other people, but I traveled a year and a half on myself. I didn't really plan it, but it happened. I had a little bit problems, and I felt really bad at one point in my life, as I'm very sure that everybody has been through a point of their lives that they don't feel so good. But that point, in that point in my life, it pushed me in a whole different direction. And that's the reason why something in my mind was like, no, this is not it. I need to change something. And I went to the other side of the world. And instead of, I planned to travel 5 months, but I stayed a year and a half. And it was really amazing. I got so many adventures. I met so many people and I learned so much about myself. And it helped me grow in on different levels in many different ways. And this is also like a reason why it became more and more clear what I needed to do in my life. And not only what was expected from me that I had to do, but that was not clear before. And being on myself and being with all kind of different people in nature, different kind of nature. So I traveled to New Zealand. So that's a really beautiful. that helped me a lot. Like nature was one of my biggest teachers. Didn't plan it, didn't expect it, but I'm really grateful to be being able to experience all those moments in my life. And I recommend, and I hope for a lot of people that they find in their own way, their own life, their own road, love life.
Beautiful. And I happen to know that you've written about your extensive travels. You are actually going to be in a couple of upcoming books, and you are starting to share all your wisdom and your stories with the world. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, that's another great adventure. And so I'm writing a chapter in two different multi-author books. One is from Inner Hippie Clips from Silke. A strong and free women who break loose from society's expectations. Yes, and it's it was really an honor to write this this chapter. I really loved writing it, and I give some of my deeper experience and of what changed for me, how I realized and what happened to me that I made like a different course in my life, and not to go like being more happy. So yeah, writing that the chapter was really great to learn more also for maybe write more books or
absolutely. I mean, I've read your chapter and it's brilliant. You have a real gift for writing.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me a bit about the other book you're in as well.
Yes. So the other one is from Publishing Inspired Heart, and it's Mystic Reveals Success Stories by Extraordinary Leaders. It's I feel for me it's like the same vibe. It's also both books are to inspire people, women, people, and have a great impact. And the first book from Strong and Free is more the realization and the society and the boundaries of society and what is the impact on you as a person. And the other book is more about leadership and success. And I see it also like, what is success? And when are you a leader? What does it mean? So I write the two chapters like in a similar way. So it's fun to, if you read one chapter, it's fun to read also the other one. I will give a little secret away, like the title of my chapters. I can already reveal that. So the first from Strong and Free is Wisdom in the Naked Bus. That's, what would that be? You just have to find out. And I have also an idea of the chapter, the title of the other book, and that is Wisdom Behind or Between the Leaves. So it's a little bit more mystical, but it fits more with the other book. So, but it's still in the same like theme. And that's also what I will write too. And it's the theme will be the same, but in a different jacket and in a different point of view. So I think it's nice if you read them both and to create a more bigger view and feel.
Yes, and for any listener who can't wait to read both, well, Mystics Reveal will be out on 10th of December and Strong and Free will be released on the 17th of December. So you've got an exciting time coming up, two books in 1 week.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, it seems almost a silly question, yeah, with all your hobbies and passions you have, but what do you actually do to relax in between all that?
Oh, that's a really good question, Silke. Well, that's really the point of Arasari lifestyle, and the lifestyle I want to create is a lifestyle that I just really enjoy. So I don't need to do something next to that to relax, because this is for me, gives me energy and it makes me happy and gives me peace. I am just not a potato, couch potato. I try, but it just, I don't feel it. If I do it too long, then I just feel like, and if I'm dancing and learning things, I feel like more alive and traveling and seeing things. And that is for me relaxation. That's for me my happy points. And that's also what I now do, also do now with my business. I love doing it. So for me now, it's really a luxury that I have all the time to create new content and meet people that I love talking with. And that's what gives me peace, and that's what makes me balanced. And that's also what I want to help other people with. So it's not one thing and then the other. No, it's the whole lifestyle. And this is, this is how I relax.
that is beautiful. You really have managed to get to that enviable point when the old saying goes, if you do what you love, you'll never work another day in your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. And I think I'm reaching it every day more and more. And I'm super grateful for that.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. That's ideally how everyone in the world should be. And that's what we should all be aiming for. And especially like yourself being a leader, that's something to teach other people, because it'll light up the world and make it a better place.
Exactly. It is giving an example. So that's what I first, and all these years, I'm maybe more than 10, 15 years, I'm figuring out for myself. Now I'm at a point that I can be an example and help other people. But you have to learn it first, and it's a long road. So
absolutely.
If I could make the road a little bit easier for others, then I would be happy to do it.
That is perfect. So with all the places you've seen already in the world and all the things you've done, what's your biggest dream in life? Is there anything left on your bucket list that's a non-negotiable and you still need to do?
Oh, wow. Yeah. create a big impact with my business, overhaul the world. That would be like a big, big dream. I want to organize retreats and write books. I also am thinking of writing a children lines book, and the title, I have already an idea of the title in my head, and it falls in line. I will not tell it now. No, it's but it. It has something to do with the title of the two chapters, but you'll have to see. So writing books, retreats, and making my business internationally really big in function of creating a great impact. I should make it more realistic idea of it. That's what I need to do. What is a great impact? I know, but.
Yeah. My last question for you today, you've almost answered it already. If you had one wish to change the world for the better, what would that be?
I think raise more awareness, because I think that's for everybody, it's a personal thing. I will not say world peace, because I don't know, I don't see that really happen, but in creating more awareness will help us more with a balanced life and being more aware of helping others, ourselves, and also the nature, the world, animals. If I have a wish, then I would have raise the awareness of all kinds of beings.
Yeah, raise awareness of Mother Earth and nature.
Yes, and yeah.
I agree totally. So where can our listeners today find you? If anybody got inspired what you've just said, what's the best way of looking you up and connecting with you?
Cool. You can connect with me through Instagram. Charlotte and _Arasari_lifestyle, or through my website www.arasari the
dot.
No, it's the thing between. It's I don't know in English. I'm sorry. I'm not a native English speaker.
That's perfectly okay. I will be putting all those details on the main page of the show, so everybody can look you up as well. If anybody wants to get in touch, just have a read through all the details of today's show, and all the details will be there with clickable links.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you, everybody. And have a lovely day.
Thank you, Charlotte, for being in the studio today. It's been a pleasure.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silky Harvey. Are you strong and free? Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books, and we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com, and become a strong and free best-selling author. It's already almost the end of the show, and we're getting onto the music spotlight with Sean Harvey today. For those of you who've never heard of Sean, he's an already well-established British singer, songwriter, and guitarist. He's also an instrumentalist and producer. He has a huge fan base internationally on the internet, and he plays rock, pop, blues, like very few do indeed. So he's born in Plymouth in England and grew up in rural Cornwall, and he was surrounded by the sounds of the 70s and hence his love for all that kind of music. He's bringing rock and roll into the 2000s though, and I can tell you, having been on the road with him for over 20 years and sharing the studio, the music is absolutely brilliant. I'm a bit biased here because I'm the bass player and on backing vocals, but some of these songs really are special to me. Especially Baby I'm Gonna Leave You Soon has fond memories, because we were in a studio with the great Albert Lee. Now, some of you who are into country music will know him, but for those who don't, he's a great country picker. He has played with all the greats, like from the Rolling Stones right through. He even was one of the Everly Brothers when one of the Everly Brothers actually left the duo. So it was such an honor to play with that guy, and the track is still very dear to me. In fact, all the tracks played today are very, very dear to me. So without further ado, let's get on to the music spotlight.
Hi, I'm Sean Harvey from the UK, and hope you enjoy the tracks that are coming up today. There's one there that I did with Albert Lee in Mill Hill called Baby I'm Gonna Leave You Soon. So enjoy the blues.
I'm a mad dog for you. I'm gonna leave you soon.
Yeah.
Well, my baby, I'm gonna leave you so soon. Well, you treated me bad for that other man. I hang on. Come back, darling, come back to me.
Are you living a life of your dreams after breaking up with society's expectations? And do you want to tell your story to inspire other women around the world and at the same time elevate your business by becoming a best-selling author? Then apply to be in Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. That's an upcoming multi-author book by Inner Hippie Books, and we are still looking for amazing women, amazing stories now. So if you are strong and free, apply at www.innerhippiebooks.com. I repeat, www.innerhippiebooks.com, and become a strong and free best-selling author. That was Sean Harvey with Come Back Darling, Baby I'm Gonna Leave You Soon, and Down That Road. If you want to look him up, go to www.seanharvey.com. You can listen to all of his music, you can buy his stuff there. So really look him up. All the details are also on the show page, so you can go straight to the clickable links. Well, this is already the end of the show. It's been such an amazing show. I can not stress enough that you should look up Matt McCartney, go find the guy, read his book, The Children's Fire, and start dreaming of a better future. Start being part of a better future for all of us, for the children.
that message is so profound that once you have heard it, once you've read the book, there is no going back. I promise you. I'm looking forward already to next week, 8th of November, when we are going to be back with the Inner Hippie Club radio show. Same place, same time, 1 p.m. CT.
Thank you for listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Sophie Harvey. See you again next week, same place, same time, Mondays at 1 p.m. CT.